Here it says, everyone who asks like this receives. Why didn't you receive? You did not ask like this. Everyone who seeks finds. How is it you didn't get find? Because you didn't seek like this. Everyone who knocks like this, it'll be opened. It's, you haven't found, it has not been opened to you, you know the answer. And then he says, you think God is reluctant? You think God is reluctant like this neighbor who was unwilling to open the door? God is not reluctant. God is like a father, verse 11, not like this neighbor. He's contrasting a father with this reluctant neighbor who was unwilling to open the door. He says, now I want to tell you of a father. If your son asks you for fish, do you think you'll give him a snake? There are people like that, you know, who say, oh, I better not ask. Keep on praying for the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I've heard of some people who had evil spirits come upon them. It's not my father. He won't give an evil spirit to someone who's seeking for the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. You evil fathers know how to give food to your children. How will your Heavenly Father give anything else? If he asks for an egg, verse 12, will he give him a scorpion? And then he says, verse 13, the best of you fathers are evil. God is much better than that. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit. To everyone? No. To those who ask him like this? To those who seek him like this? To those who knock like this, who say, Lord, my life is not the blessing it should be to others. Not even a trickle is coming out of my life. Hardly a single soul has been blessed through my life in the last 1 year or in the last 10 years. 10 years I've been a believer and hardly anybody's been blessed through my life. Lord, what am I doing? And I'm not asking for the power of the Holy Spirit. Boy, what a laid-back way to live the Christian life. But I don't have the power to witness. This guy didn't have the food either. What did he do? He knew there was one place where he could get food. And there is one place where we can get power. To serve God in whatever way he wants you to serve him. I want to tell you this, my dear brothers and sisters. Oh, I wish I could convince every one of you. One single thing. That God has got a wonderful plan for your life, which was made before you were born. I'm absolutely convinced about it. Now that I'm 60 years a believer, and a lot of those early 16 of those years I wasted. Well, not wasted, I learned the wrong way to do it. I remember telling the Lord, Lord, I wish you had shown me all this. Not 16 years after I was saved, when I was 35 years old. I wish I'd known it when I was 20, when I got converted, or 21, when I got baptized. And I believe in my case, because of the particular ministry the Lord had prepared for me, which I did not know then, the Lord said, I needed to take you through every street in Babylon to show you what Babylon is really like. The buildings and the streets. And the idols in Babylon. That's why I took you. Not every believer has to go that way because they don't all have that ministry. They have different ministries. But your ministry was this, to expose Babylon, and you could never do it unless I showed you all of Babylon thoroughly. So God gave me a guided tour through all of Babylon in 16 years and I saw it through and through. That's why I'm not fooled today by what goes on there. There's some people who still seek to have interdenominational fellowship with Babylonian groups, not me. I've seen through it. And I don't blame them. I say, you guys haven't got a guided route through Babylon yet. That's why you think there's something there. I know there's nothing there. I know that everything in Babylonian Christendom runs on the principle of money. Nothing will happen in Babylon without money. The preachers will resign. The pastors will resign. Churches will collapse. Because Babylon runs on money. So I'm convinced of them. That's why when we started, we decided we'll have nothing to do with money. We won't even take an offering. We will never have a single paid worker in any of our ministry in our churches. Now, you know, today that's become so common that you can glory in this. We don't want to glory in it. Because I say, if I have an elder brother in one of my churches, who doesn't take money, doesn't take an offering, but he's defeated by sin. I say, that's no better. If you're defeated by sin, you're part of Babylon again. It's not just the money. So this is one parable. This other parable of, this is building the church, you know. Let the rivers flow out from you. The other parable on prayer is in Luke chapter 18. There are only two parables Jesus spoke on prayer. And I want you to see the similarity in both. He was telling them a parable again, in verse 1, Luke 18 verse 1, how they ought to pray and never give up. It's always this thing you see in the New Testament. Never give up. Never give up asking God for something which is promised in His Word. That's the meaning of it. Did you find something written in God's Word and you haven't got it? Oh, don't give up till you get it. Okay, here's the parable for that. In a certain city, you know, always the Lord takes some extreme case and compares it with a loving God, like this reluctant neighbor and a loving father. It's a contrast. If a reluctant neighbor can give you bread, how much more a loving father will give. Here's another one like that. A dishonest judge who did not fear God or respect man. And he's comparing you to the loving, faithful father who is your God. There was this judge who did not fear God, verse 2, he did not respect man, hard-hearted. There was a widow in that city. The widow is a picture of the believer. You know, the Lord always pictures believers as someone very weak, sheep, and around are wolves and lions, and a widow who doesn't even have a son or a daughter to go and plead for her case with the widow. No children, a childless widow, husband dead, no children, a neighbor is encroaching on her property. She has a little property that she got from her husband, but the neighbor knows that she's a helpless widow and keeps on occupying her property. This happens in India, by the way. They move the fence closer and closer and closer, and they know that this poor widow can do nothing. And she comes and says, please give me legal protection from my enemy. And he keeps on hammering at the judge's door in the middle of the night and house and the office. And he was unwilling. And finally he said, even though I don't fear God or respect man, because this widow bothers me, verse 5, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise she'll wear me out. And the Lord said, verse 6, hear what this unrighteous judge says. And do you think God will delay? You think God will delay, verse 7, in bringing justice for his elect? Not elects who sing a few songs and go to sleep. No. The elect who cry to him day and night. Lord, Satan's getting power over areas of my life. Lord, Satan is invading my family. Lord, Satan is getting hold of some of my children. They've begun to misbehave. Lord, don't leave me like this. And to bother the judge day and night, that widow, and we go to God and keep on saying, cry to him day and night. You think God will delay? I tell you, if God finds one believer like that, who cries to him day and night, he will bring justice for him quickly, speedily. But when Jesus comes, will he find anybody with such faith? Where will he find believers who have such faith? That if I lay hold of God, he will drive the devil out of my home and out of my life and out of my children and wherever the devil's encroached upon the property. And the Lord says, what I see is a whole lot of my children laid back. Okay, what to do? My child is wayward. He will always be wayward. And nothing's going to happen. I've not been a blessing to a single person in the last 10 years. And I won't be a blessing to anybody else in the next 20 years either. And my life will be like that. They are laid back. God doesn't do anything for such people. They'll just drift along. You can't even say about such people that they lived. They existed on earth as believers. To live with a capital L is quite different. Will he find faith? Not will he find people who are not. He's not asking, will I find any widows on earth who are muscular enough to drive the enemy out? No. Will he find helpless widows who have faith to believe that their heavenly Father will come down and support them and drive the enemy out of their lives and their homes? That's the question. You're supposed to be a helpless widow. It's wonderful, the picture the Lord gives me. I said, Lord, the pictures you give me of myself, what am I supposed to be? A widow. Helpless old widow. That's a Zach Poonen. Or a sheep. Dumb sheep. If I don't have a shepherd, I'm lost. I can fall over the cliff. That's me. Or the other picture the Lord gives is a little baby. He picks up the little baby and says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to this. I love these pictures because I say, that's no problem, Lord. If I'm only supposed to be like a helpless widow or a sheep who doesn't know head or tail about what to do, or like a baby, I qualify, sure. Some dumb person, me. What did Jesus ride on? Not on a horse. You know why he rode on a donkey? Because that's the dumbest animal. Like it says in Genesis 3:1, the sharpest animal was the snake. The dumbest is a donkey. And all rulers, all kings in those days rode on horses. Caesar and all the others. And here's the King of Kings who came on the earth. Like it says in Zechariah, behold, your king comes riding on a donkey. And you know, it says that when he sent his disciples to loose that donkey to bring him, if somebody asks you, why are you losing this donkey? Tell him, the Lord has need of him. I have a picture in front of my table where I work. It says, it's a picture of Jesus riding on a donkey. And underneath are the words, the Lord has need of you. I say, thank you, Lord. That's the place I always want to be. The Lord has need of me. And when people appreciate me and throw their shirts on the coats on the ground and says, hey, what a wonderful thing's happening here. I don't think that they're celebrating me. It's because who is riding on me? And if he ever gets off me, that'll be the end of people throwing any coats in front of me. The donkey knows that. And I hope you and I know that. Never, never forget that. We're not worthy of anything. But that is God's will, my brothers and sisters. I hope you will believe that God wants you to be victorious and triumphant. Not defeated. His children are not supposed to be defeated.